sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland.
You're listening to Dig Deep on KEXEKBXE or our podcast. I'm Heidi Holton with Chuck Marone, our conservative commentator, and Aaron Brown. He is our liberal commentator. Aaron, you get to set the stage on this segment.
Yeah, well, as an Iron Range guy who's written about the range economy since I was in my teen years, for goodness sake, I get the honor of starting a segment by saying that the Iron Range economy in 2017 was pretty darn good by my Minnesota standards, in that 2016 was such a rough year for the mining economy, 15 and 16, with the import of foreign steel, drop in steel demand, economic concerns. The range at one point had half of its mining economy shut down in a temporary idling. Now in 2017, all the mines have been running the whole year, and ore prices were, well, they're a little lower now than they were, but they had peaked quite a bit higher. Companies like Cleveland Cliffs and U.S. Steel had turned it around remarkably from a stock and a profit standpoint. And this meant employment as well. Employment is still higher on the Iron Range here in northeastern Minnesota broadly than it is statewide, but it has improved. And it's actually as low now as it was in 2002, which, when you think about the whole economic collapse and a couple different recessions that occurred in that time, that's pretty remarkable. And certainly when you talk to anybody who supports President Trump or the policies that exist now, and even Governor Dayton on the DFL side here in Minnesota, they'll point out and say, look what they're doing. Obviously, the economy is great, even though they're from different parties. But there's this sense that the economy is good, even though we're all pretty much miserable. If, I don't know if you know, like, from a cultural and social standpoint, we all feel like the country's going spiraling downward. But
no one saying happy times are here.
Right. Again. Nobody seems particularly to be enjoying themselves. Anybody. Everybody's mad about something. And
you and I are happy, Aaron.
We're happy guys because we talk for a living and there's plenty to talk about. But the economy is, by indicators, good. And so what I would argue, what I would posit for our discussion today, is the idea that the reason why people are so unhappy, even though all of these indicators are so good, is because it's like when you eat a food that is not nutritionally valuable. We have a belly full of chicken nuggets and dum-dums or suckers,
yeah,
or ho-hos or
exactly.
Twinkies. We got a belly full of Halloween candy in us right now. Lots of calories, and it makes our belly go, but it is not good for us, and we are, in fact, facing perhaps some dark times ahead as this moves through our system.
No, I totally agree. And let's go through the metrics. I mean, the stock market is at all-time highs. Unemployment is at very low rates. You have inflation that has been like silent for a long time. So in theory, like if you're sitting in an ivory tower in Washington, D.C. or on Wall Street and you're just looking at spreadsheets of stuff, you're going, the American economy rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is great.
Cheap money, you can borrow money. And yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to pick up exactly what Aaron said, because we agree on this. When you listen to, and I'm not going to put this on you, Aaron, I'll say this as me. When you listen to President Trump campaign, some of the things he said is that this Obama economy is fake. It's not a real economy. It's based on artificially low interest rates that are not sustainable. It's based on deficit spending. It's based on some unrealistic, you know, spending at the Federal Reserve, just the printing of money. This is a false economy, and it's going to come crashing down on us in a really horrible way. And I'm listening to this, and I'm going, this is the only person I've heard saying what I actually think is going on. Like, this is real. Then President Trump gets in the office and he's like, oh my gosh, the stock market's awesome. It's a Trump stock market. Yeah. Everything's going great. It's a Trump economy. And all of a sudden, we had doubled down on what I thought were crazy economic policies. Now we've like tripled. And with the latest you know, Republican tax cut, we've quadrupled down on crazy economic policies. I feel like we have injected into our system in 2008, because things were flatlining, we just gave this like diabetic economy like a bunch of candy. Like, let's get you going again. Let's get you up off the mat and going again. And now we're at the phase where we actually have to start transitioning to meat and potatoes again and like a healthy diet. And I don't know if we can. Mm-hmm. I really don't know if we can. And the problem is you can't live off of monetary junk food forever. We can't run huge budget surpluses. We can't run massive deficits. We can't, you know, continue printing money and have all this like crazy Fed policy. I think that we are in this very fragile period of time where we're trying to transition to actual real economics. And I think even to build on, I think where Aaron was going with this is that the economy is working really well for a certain segment of people, but there's a growing group of people where this economy does not, they hear stock market reaching record levels. They're like, what? Where is that working? They hear, if you want to be employed right now today, you're employed because the unemployment rate is super low. And they're like, I don't have a good job. Mm-hmm. This is not showing up in like my increased wages. This is not showing up in me having more opportunity. I can't quit my dead end job now and go get something really good. So we are in, I think, this place where, is it real or is it not? Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to find out in the next 12 months. And my gut is that it's not real. And that's going to be very painful for the people who want to say, look at the Trump stock market, isn't it awesome, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, we've got a reckoning ahead of us, a reckoning with the reality that if you want things, they cost money. And if you want stability, you have to pay for what you want with tax dollars. And if you want to borrow money, you're going to have to pay a fair rate of interest. And all of this is going to kind of come back. I actually, we're in total agreement about that.
Imagine that. If you want to borrow money, you have to pay a fair rate of interest.
Right. And if you want to put money in a bank, you should get some money back, that kind of thing, too.
Just weird, bizarre, antiquated concepts of, you know, the economy.
Right. We might disagree about some of what to do about it, but I think we're in that same boat. And I would just add to something Chuck said. I think where you see it is the difference in reaction to the economic news that we shared at the start of the broadcast here. The reaction to it in Wall Street, Washington, D.C., or any of those places, dare I say it, Minneapolis.
I think it's fair.
Certainly in the tall buildings in Minneapolis, versus how people would react to it at the VFW, at the elementary PTA meeting, or at the gas station around the corner here in northern Minnesota. And the reason that they're different is because the people of lower means, and I don't just mean like people in poverty, I mean like the middle class all the way down to people who don't make much at all, are people who work and their rate of return from this economy is low.
I would say it's negative in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways it is, because you feel like, and my wife and I have talked about this, we're not poor, but we're also not rich. We are middle class. And it feels like we've had this conversation. We save money. We don't carry credit card debt. We pay off everything we can. We're trying our best. But we make the comment when we talk about our finances quite often, it just feels like we are not getting ahead. We just try and try, and we're still, despite the fact that I am the most financially successful person, I think, in my immediate family, we feel like we're just as paycheck to paycheck as others who don't make as much.
There's all this pressure.
And talk about the stock market, you know, we save for retirement, but it's a pittance in comparison to the big numbers. When the people who make a lot of money off a stock market at 20,000 are not people you and I or us, even most people listening to this, interact with on a regular basis. There's a huge divide here, and that is not good. As a student of history, that is not good, because it creates, especially when the next crisis happens, which I'm not saying it's going to happen in 2018, but if it's not 2018, it's 2020 or 2023.
I think it will happen before the Trump administration.
It's in all likelihood will be in the next, the way things are so accelerated in the way, and the amount, how high up in the sky we are right now means that the fall is going to have to come eventually. But when that crisis does come, an environment where so many people have very few savings, very little money in savings, no retirement savings. You couple that with some entitlement cuts or things to try to balance the budget or stave off the debt or any of these things that are going to happen, especially after the tax bill passed. When all of that comes due, so to speak, and a whole majority of the country, some of them Republicans, some of them Democrats of all races and backgrounds, when everybody decides it's time to start busting thumping some skulls here, that's not good for America, and that's ultimately not good for everybody, because in that environment where it's class warfare, essentially, you're going to have casualties, and innocents will suffer in that environment.
Let me give this a very local flavor, too, because I was involved in the early 2000s with basically the government side of the housing bubble. At that point in my career, I did permitting work and planning work for local cities. And I saw some of the craziest stuff being financed, being built, being constructed. We had strip malls in Baxter that were built in the 2007 range that are still sitting empty. I mean, a decade later, they're still sitting empty. Yet I look at like Baxter now, and we're building more stuff. I did a conference in New York at New York University with some retail people in October, and we talked about retail finance. And they basically say, you know, this is Wall Street money, like looking for a place to go. And it's not looking to go in the local pharmacist having a shop downtown, or the local whatever starting the small ma and pa, you know, donut shop or restaurant. This is like, where's the next PetSmart we can open on the strip in Baxter? And this is the stuff that is like the frothy edge of a crazy bubble. The thing is that if you go to the Brainerd-Baxter area and you look around, there's a lot of people who are in that tier that are like, oh, yes, PetSmart. Like, I'm doing well. Now I can get like really cheap dog food. There's another tier of people who are like, oh, good. Now I've got another option for a just slightly above minimum wage job. And then there's this whole like broad swath of people who are like, okay, how does this affect me in any way? It's not really changing anything. I think what we have done is we have wired an economy to be very sensitive to that top group, to that group that says, okay, let's build the new PetSmart. Let's get the new development. Let's find the money to build a frontage road for them. Let's find the money to finance this and make it happen. And then we've tuned all of our financial indicators to measure that as success, completely ignoring what I think is a growing percentage of our economy is just not plugged into that. I look at Baxter right now, I am seeing in my eyes a return of the craziness, the craziest part of the bubble I am seeing there. It is what they call success, and what the local paper reports it as, hey, here's the business happenings. All this stuff is going on. Isn't it great? And I look at it, I just say, this is like a return to the insanity. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is the new economy and this is the way things go and we're just in a cycle. I feel like the lessons of 2008 were never learned. They were papered over. Mm-hmm. And what we have gotten now is we've gone to the, like, it's almost like fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, like, shame on me. I feel like that's where we're at. We're like mm-hmm. in the shame on me phase.
Yeah,
this
we're
now.
Doing it again
yeah.
at this point, yeah. what you say. The other underground factor here that I look at, I think retail is a really classic example of, I'll use a sports analogy. It's like when you draft a fancy wide receiver when what you really need is a good lineman or something like that. You know, you draft something flashy, you get something flashy.
When you go to dessert, when you really need a good
right.
healthy
I like meal. Cake, yeah. So I'm going to eat cake even though I should eat some turkey and vegetables. But in terms of the economy, though, and the potential for something bad, and boy, we sound like a couple of
we do
bears here, you know. guys, it's gonna get worse.
Yeah, I'm wondering where there's some hope, but keep talking.
This is not hopeful, at least at first, but it's something we have to deal with. And I wrote about this recently. We're watching, and you can go back, it was before Trump, it was before Obama, it would really go back to the 70s and 80s, where you start to see American productivity rise at a stunning rate, which is very profitable because people are able to do more while earning the same. And right around that time, you see wages and income, I won't say entirely freeze, but the rate of increase diverges greatly at that point. and productivity goes up tenfold while wages either remain stagnant or slowly rise at a very small rate. We're entering a point with, and I think another part of the reason for that is the automation of systems and the change of our economy. You know, one of the things I'm researching 100 years ago right now for a book, and 100 years ago, people, you know, the jobs were moving things, building things, you know, and they needed people. Like, one of the reasons you couldn't do something is you couldn't get enough people to come dig a hole that you needed dug. And so if your price of somebody to dig a hole goes up in that environment, well, because our productivity is so impressive, because we can, you know, take hold things that used to take 20 people now take one person with a computer. They're now looking at that, extrapolating into the future and saying in the not-so-distant future, I think one report I wrote about was 2023, which is stunningly close, a third of the people who have a job now will not have that job due to technological automation. And yeah, there might be some spin-off work making the robots work, you know, robot maintenance and stuff like that. Uber site manager kind of thing. Instead of 100 drivers, you got one person making sure that all the automated cars work, are on the roads correctly. But that's going to be a huge moment of reckoning for all of us to consider what the value of human labor is. And what do we do when that human labor might not be served by a capitalistic economy? What do we do with that person if their labor has been devalued in the marketplace so much that they can no longer support a family? What's the correction?
I feel like we are, and this is why I want to talk about this segment too. I feel like 2017 in economy is really, to me, we've reached like a peak delusion of the old model. We are transitioning, and I firmly believe we're transitioning to a different economic model. I'm a market person. I'm less of a capitalist person than I am a market-based person. Like, I like market feedback more than I like the accumulation of capital. I think accumulation of capital is how we've had market feedback. I don't know as it will be in the next era that we're entering into, but we are certainly entering... We are going through a transition, because right now, today, our economy doesn't work for not a small minority of people, but a growing majority of people. And I think that that is going to prompt us to change to something new. And I don't know what that will be, but I think we'll look back at the year, the beginning of the Trump administration, as being like the peak delusion period of this last economy.
On that note... Like, we're at time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have 8 more things to say.
I know.
No, I'm kidding.
It's Dig Deep on 91.7 KEXE.
I may have been teased about adding at the end of these segments.
You may have been the
and
talker.
And so now I'm very conscious about it.
We will continue the conversation on the big stories of 2017 that we've chosen to talk about. It's Dig Deep.
In the meadow, we can build a snowman and pretend that he's a circus clown.
We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman.
Yes, until the other kiddies knock him down. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we've made. Walking in a winter wonderland. Walking in a winter wonderland.